Our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen.
Jane, who is leading us in worship next Sunday, has asked that we come prepared to share our responses to the simple question: what does it mean for you to follow Jesus? What does it mean for you to follow Jesus? Take some time to consider that question this week. If you feel the need, please write a response out and come prepared to share that next week as part of our service. If you are so willing and able as well, there's encouragement to answer that question, then read the reading that is set for next week, and then consider your answer again. What does it mean for you to follow Jesus? Read the text, consider your answer again. And that will form most of our worship for next Sunday, along with recognising those who are being welcomed into membership. Let us pray. God of Christ Jesus and our God, how profoundly we need you. We need you in our weaknesses, and we need you when we think we are strong. We need to return from our wanderings to your eternal at-homeness, to relax our tense self-importance in your huge humility, to review our cleverness in the light of your wisdom, to repair our brokenness in your perfect wholeness, to rest our pettiness in the wonder of your immensity, to restore our tired love in your inexhaustible grace. God of Christ Jesus, we need you far more than we can ever estimate. Gather us up in your warmth and answer the prayers of our recognized and unrecognized needs for your love's sake. Amen. Recently, in this past week or the week before, you may have seen footage perhaps of a crowd of men, a group of 30 men marching down a street in Sydney, I think it was, chanting the rosary as a response to a joke that was told on the project. Christians are not really quite sure how to respond publicly to a world that is in need of grace. We have our own versions at Rundle Mall of our street preachers. I don't know if they're still, has anyone been to Rundle Mall and seen, I don't know if they're still working down there. I heard only recently of someone talking about, you know, should we be praying out in public when Jesus expressly says, go behind the closed door, shut it, and do it quietly. But not only praying, but also giving alms and fasting, anything that draws your attention towards God, do quietly. And the first question that's often asked of me when we talk about this is, yes, but Anthony, how will people know? And my response would be, how will they know what? That you want to be seen and recognized and encouraged and affirmed, or that God is behind your activity. And I think we as Christians, our great struggle is, how do we recognize? How do we get recognition? Because if we're not being recognized, how will people know that we're Christian? And if they don't know that we're Christian, how will they know Christ? And if they don't know, and so this line follows. And so Jesus, I believe, leads us in this particular way. Last week, this was the question was answered and attended to. What is wrong with the world? Me. This is confession. We acknowledge our faults. We acknowledge our wrongs. We all have them. We acknowledge them not so that we stay there, though. Because if we acknowledge what is wrong, we have to then acknowledge, what is it about me that is wrong? It's no good just doing a broad general sweep. Oh, yes, it's me. I'm a terrible person. Well, really? Why are you terrible? In what way are you terrible? How are you terrible? With whom are you terrible? This is repentance. It is to see that the way we are walking, the road we are walking and traveling, is not the road that we can follow, that God calls us to follow. The kingdom of God invites us onto a particular path, and all we need to do is adjust our direction. What is wrong with me? So that we can then choose a new way. As Jesus says, be salt and be light for the world. That three-step, what is wrong with them? Yep, that's a great first step, but it needs to lead to the second, which is repentance, which leads to the third, which is transformation. We are to be a transformed people, a being transformed people. Not a once-off event, but a continual growth. I have been baptized, I am always being baptized. I have repented, I am always repenting. I have been transformed, I am always being transformed. Not once, not twice, always. But how do we do this, we say? How can we be transformed people? Well, Jesus says, you can, if you want, draw attention to yourself. The play actors do it, the hypocrites and the Gentiles do it. You can do it, but don't, says Jesus. And this is from, excuse me for a minute. From a version of the New Testament by N.T. Wright. The Kingdom New Testament, just some selected verses. So when you give money to the poor, don't make a big thing about it. Don't do it out so that everyone can see it. When you pray, don't be like the play actors. When you pray, don't pile up a jumbled heap of words. That's what the Gentiles do. When you fast, don't be gloomy. Don't walk around with this image of contorting our face to make it look, I'm doing a really difficult thing here, and you need to know that I'm doing a really difficult thing. Why? Because we only want to draw attention to ourselves. And my question to us is, why do we want attention drawn to ourselves? And that's a conversation for another day. But if Jesus is saying these things are possible, and obviously there are practices like this that occur where Christians or Christ followers, where Jews are living in such a way that it draws attention to themselves. And Jesus says, you don't do that. That's not the point of what you're doing. If you're fasting, if you're giving generously, if you're praying, don't do these things. So there's quite clearly a methodology in how we are to be present. I remember in one of my first parishes, I had this fascinating conversation because I started to talk about how we need to shape the prayers of the church, and how we can feed back into other people what they're praying and why they're praying. And someone said, "Oh no, we don't do that." And I said, "Why don't we do that?" And I made some remark about it's very easy to critique the sermon. Oh yeah, we can critique the sermon, that's okay. I thought, well, hang on a minute. So we can critique the sermon, but we cannot critique people's praying. And they said, no, you can't critique people's praying because they're praying to God. Right. Okay. And I just left it at that because I was stunned into silence, which I know was a rare treat. But Jesus is quite comfortable to critique the way that people are praying. Unashamedly so. And this is where it's really interesting. If you want to go out and make a big song and dance about it, if you want to make a big show about how you're living as a Jesus follower who points the way to God, then you can do that. But Jesus says, don't do that. Go and do it in secret. In other words, don't let anybody know what the internal work is happening in you. Because if you want people to know the internal work, you're only doing it for yourself. And then it's invalidated. And it serves no purpose. So if you want to give attention to yourself, you go away. But acknowledge that you're giving attention to yourself, which is what is wrong with the world? Me. I want attention about it. It's more about me than it is about Jesus. But be transformed. And the whole intent of prayer is to be attentive. So unfortunately, I can't preach a simple sermon like you've offered today, John. But if I'd like you to go away with one thing, it is this. It is being, prayer is simply being attentive. Every moment of every day. In everything that you do, and everything that you say, and everything that you think, you're being attentive. Simple. But it takes practice. Our affirming club up here have said, yeah, it sounds easy, but it's not easy. Of course it's not easy. Of course it's not easy. But it's what we're called to. And I think this is, oh, I can't pray like you do, Anthony, or I can't, you know, there's method upon method upon method of prayer. They're beside the point. They're great, and I have a number of different patterns that I follow. I'm not talking about them today. Be attentive. And Jesus says we pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Our prayer, Jesus says, begins with a focus on God. And not my God, our God. Whose name is holy. Our God who is present, our God who is faithful, our God who is love and power and vulnerability and care and compassion. Our God. Our prayer, Jesus says, begins with God. If you don't know what to pray and you think, well, I don't know what to say, I invite you to read the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, you'll notice that a majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of them, begin in their very first line with God. And the Psalms invite us to acknowledge every life, every conceivable possibility that would happen in life, from hunger to frustration to guilt to persecution to being harassed by our enemies to joy to praise to lament. And they all, majority of them, begin with God. If you're looking for a short psalm and you're not, because where do I start? Begin with Psalm 1, Psalm 131, nice, short, pithy psalms. Begin with God. If you're feeling like there's nobody that's around you and you're all by yourself, Psalm 88, it's the only psalm that doesn't end in hope. All other 149 psalms end in some way, shape or form of hope. But Psalm 88, but it begins with God. Being attentive with God. And you say, well, Anthony, that's very well and good, but didn't Jesus say we need to be salt and light in the world? Yes, and what's the purpose of being salt and light, according to Eugene Peterson's interpretation? But to be salt and light is to bring out the God flavors, the God colors. Not for the salt, you know, whoever has a meal of just having salt. Of course not. The salt only enhances the rest of the food. Light allows us to see everything else. Light in itself is useless. Light simply allows us to see better, to see well. Be transformed. And we be transformed simply by being attentive with God. And the rest of that beautiful, simple prayer that Jesus offers begins with God and ends with our need. Tom Ryan, in a series of workshops that he was doing, says we often begin with what our needs are, and then we'll tail it off, oh, and God, you're really great, thanks very much. He doesn't use that language, but we start with what our need is. God, I've got a great lot of, or I've got a lot of concerns, or I'm praying for a lot of people, or there's all this stuff going on in the world, God. And Tom says, Jesus says our prayer begins with God. Our prayer begins with our attention being on God. And then everything flows from that. So be attentive with God. And everybody can do that. And so I would say that this is the... Oh, Barbara Brown Taylor, theologian, Episcopalian priest from America, and now a lecturer and author, writes this: "Earth is so thick with divine possibility that it is a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on altars." Love it. That's everywhere. Everywhere is thick with divine possibility. If we're paying attention, we'll see them. And in her book, An Altar in the World, Taylor walks through all these varying circumstances through life where what we think might not be prayer actually can be prayer. From something as simple as eye contact when you go into the shops and you're handing over payment for your groceries, to how you hang your washing. Earth is so thick with divine possibility that it is a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on altars. If we're being attentive. And so prayer, this secret life that we are to live that's supposed to be enriched and quiet, away from where everybody else is watching and listening and paying attention, but beginning with God. Prayer is the way of quietly practicing faithfulness with God. Not being faithful, because we know that that's like, I can't always be faithful, okay? So practice. Early church desert mothers and fathers offered this prayer: "O Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And they say, pray that 1,000 times and then you'll be in the rhythm of prayer. 1,000 times. I started that once. I got myself lost after 97 or 98 times. But if you practice it, So we are to be a transformed people. We are to be a transformed people. And being transformed is to be in relationship with God. That's our primary act. In which case, Amen.